Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 14, verse 15 says this, Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will. Say you will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Hallelujah. I want to tell you the title of the message tonight is Help Has Arrived. Help has arrived. He will give you another helper. This is Pentecost Sunday, glory to God. But it didn't matter if it wasn't. It could be any old Sunday. In fact, it could be any day of the week. It could be any day of the rest of your lives. And it's a Pentecost day every day. Because the helper has arrived. Hallelujah. He said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you, and that day has arrived. Hallelujah. I will not leave you orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. And then in John 16, in verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. It is better that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Oh, hallelujah. And he goes on and he says that when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin. We don't have to convict the world of sin. He will. Yes. Amen. In us. He said, because they do not believe in me. How will he do that? Because we believe in him. Yeah. Because they'll see what happens. What's the fruit of people's faith? What's the fruit of people believing in him? They'll be convicted by that. Yeah. Amen. He says he'll convict the world of righteousness. We don't have to do that. We just have to live the life that he's given us. Hallelujah. That Holy Spirit life. Amen. And he says, because they see me no more, who are they going to see now? They're going to see us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He says, he'll convict the world that the prince of this world has been judged, that the devil has been judged. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. Yeah. Hallelujah. He'll see a people who live victorious over the devil. And over all of his ways, his stealing, killing, destroying ways. People who don't get stolen from anymore. Who don't end up dead before their time anymore. Who don't end up destroyed in every kind of horrible way. Glory to God. The Helper has arrived. Say, the Helper has arrived. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He's come to help us. He's come to help us complete our mission. He's come to help us to cover the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that is already here. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 60. Let's read that a minute. Isaiah chapter 60. I know you know this verse. Most folks do these three verses, but let's read them again and remind ourselves. This is prophetic, and this prophetic statement has been fulfilled in us. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The Helper has come. Yeah. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Turn to that person next to you and say, that's you he's talking about. Say, and I just tell him, that's me he's talking about as well. That's us he's talking about. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, those who don't know God, those who don't know that there's a possibility to have a covenant with God, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Glory to God. You see, we are here, folks, to be the Book of Acts Church continuing. Amen. Or the Acts of the Holy Spirit Church continuing. Amen. Glory to God. I've been going through the Book of Acts over the last wee while, and this word, well, I come up with 18 things that he's come to help us with. I thought I'd maybe get 5 or 6, and then I ended up with 13, and then 14, and then I went to bed last night with 17 and woke up this morning with 18. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are looking really scared right now. I don't blame you. But remember, he's come to help us. See, help has arrived. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I might split it into 6 Presbyterian three-pointers. You never know. See how it goes anyway. But I want to tell you that, see, I'm just going to look at some examples in the Book of Acts. I won't necessarily, sometimes I might read the scripture, sometimes I won't, and maybe just refer to it. Glory to God. But the first thing, and you need to know this is not an exhaustive list, even though there is 18. Amen. But he has come to help us explode. Say explode. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, and you shall receive dunamis. power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word dunamis, it's the Greek word from which we get the English word dynamite. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Now there's lots of ways you can go fishing. You can go fishing with a rod and line. You can go fishing with a boat. If you're illegally, you can go fishing with a gaff or a net, depending where you are. But there's, every good poacher knows, there's, you find a pool that's full of salmon. The best way to get the salmon out, stick a dynamite. Never mind standing at the bank all day with a rod and line. Stick a dynamite, boom, all the salmon, stunned or dead, float to the top, pick them out, take them home. Amen. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, glory to God, hallelujah. And he's given us, he helps us to explode. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they exploded and out they ended up on the street. I think that's why I ended up with 18 bits, because there's a lot of shrapnel flying around. Found another piece this morning. Amen. Glory to God. The first thing he does is he helps us to explode. Hallelujah. God knows the best way of fishing for men. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The power of God shows up and people are stunned by it. People are amazed by it. They stand back and go, what is this? And then that's what he comes to help us do next. He helps us to explain. I started with explode and then ended up with 18 words that begin with EXP. Some of them you might never have heard before. But you'll go home tonight better educated than you came. Hallelujah. And better equipped because he's come to help us. See, the help has arrived. See, after they exploded, the Holy Spirit helped Peter to explain. People say, what is all this about? He comes to help us to explain. That first sermon, Peter explained. Some of them were saying, what's happening? What's going on? These guys are drunk. Peter stood up, and it says he stood up with the 11 in total agreement. They were all in perfect agreement, agreeing to agree that what God had said had come to pass. Just like he promised. And Peter explains to them, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he begins to explain to them what's happening. Amen. So number one, he helps us to explode. Number two, he helps us to explain. See, he helps us to explain. Glory to God. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, you see the result of this is that he has come to help us to expand. Yeah. Not just to expand, but to expand exponentially. Because 3,000 people are added to the church on that first sermon. See, he helps us to explode. He helps us to explain. And he helps us to expand. Hallelujah. Then you go into Acts chapter 3, and you see Peter and John going down to the temple to pray, and they see a lame man that's been sitting at that gate for years and years and years, begging there, lame. He's been lame from birth. He can't walk. Somebody brings him there and leaves him there every day, and he shakes his wee can, and he hopes to get enough money to buy a crust to keep him alive. And Peter and John, you know, they've been with Jesus. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll receive power, the power that you saw me operating in. In fact, you'll do the same works that I did. And in fact, you'll do greater works than I did. So they see this guy sitting there. And the fourth thing he does, he comes to help us experiment. I'm not talking about messing, playing with people's lives. I'm not talking about using people as guinea pigs. But you need to experiment with this power that you've been given. Amen. There's no point in just talking about laying hands on the sick if you never lay hands on one. Amen. There's no point in talking about the power to heal the sick if you never speak to sick people and tell them to be healed. Mm-hmm. Peter says, well, actually, I don't have any money, but I'm going to try something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And lo and behold, he got up and walked. He said, look at us. He didn't even say look to heaven. He said, look at us. Because he believed that the same power that an anointing that was on Jesus was now upon him. And he thought, I'm going to experiment with this. And this experiment was a success. We need to experiment, folks, with healing and deliverance. If you never lay hands on a sick person, I'll guarantee you, you'll never see one healed. Read it for yourself, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. He comes to help us. See, he's come to help us experiment. Number 5. In Acts chapter 4, after this happens, Peter and John are arrested. They're taken to the chief priests, and they're threatened, and they're warned, and they're told, "You must not speak and preach in the name of that Jesus fellow anymore." And they said, "Well, I'm terribly sorry, but that's never going to happen. We can't but speak in this name. We can't but tell people the best news they could ever hear. The world's full of broken people, and we have an anointing to heal them. Hallelujah." And they come back and they tell the rest of the disciples, and so they have a prayer meeting. A Holy Ghost prayer meeting. That's not, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God." Oh, no, it's not. It's one of these prayers that move heaven. They say, "Lord, come on, come down and stretch forth your hand to heal more healings. Let's see more of your glory." The fifth thing he's come is he's come to help us expect. He's come to help us expect. You carry an expectancy within you. You're pregnant all the time with hope. You're pregnant with change, with expectancy to see supernatural transformation, to see the power of God, to see your anointing work, to see signs and wonders and miracles. You're full of expectancy. He's come to help us. Say, "He's come to help us." Say, "He's come to help us expect." Hallelujah. Number six, we're doing no bad so far. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't have told you there was 18. Huh? You go into Acts chapter 5, and the church is trucking along, and things are going real good, and church has been added to, and people are selling their excess stuff, their excess baggage, and they're bringing the money, and they're laying it down at the apostles' feet, and they're investing in the kingdom. And a couple called Ananias and Sapphira sell a piece of land, and instead of bringing all the money, which they didn't, Peter actually says to me, "You didn't have to bring all the money. It was your own money. You could do whatever you liked with it. It was your own land. You didn't have to bring any of the money. The problem is, you sold the land and you came and told us that you brought all the money. In other words, you lied." The sixth thing he's come to help us is he's come to help us expose the lies. He's come to help us expose deceit. He's come to help us expose hypocrisy. He's come to help us to know what we could never know naturally. Come on. Hallelujah. See, he's come to help us expose. Number seven. Acts chapter 6. Church was moving along again. After what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, it says everybody was full of fear and nobody wanted to join them. So things were slowing down a wee bit. But still, even so, it still says people were getting saved. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't matter what's happened, God's still the best. He's still the best over everything else. You might think it's a bit tough in the church, but it's still the best. It's the very best. You might think, "Well, it's not always easy, but it's still the best." It's the best difficult there is. Come on. Hallelujah. And there's a wee bit of a problem in the church because some of the Greek widows are starting to complain that they're being treated unfairly and they're not getting their fair share. And you know what complaining does in the church? It releases a cancer. You know what it actually does? It opens the back door, it says, to the destroyer, because it says, "When they complained in the wilderness, in the old covenant, the destroyer destroyed them." And so they bring this complaint to the apostles. And the apostles get together and they say, "Well, it's not desirable for us." You read this in Acts chapter, I'm trying to remember, in Acts chapter 6. He said, "It's not desirable for us to leave the ministry of the word and of prayer to serve at tables. So choose out for yourselves." He didn't say, "Leave it with us and we'll decide." No, you choose out for yourselves seven men. But here's the qualifications. They have to be full of faith and full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they're presented with a problem and the Holy Spirit gives them a solution. And that solution is the wonderful art of delegation. And it says, "When you've chosen them, bring them back to us. We'll lay hands on them, and then we'll release them into the ministry." And as a result of them bringing the Holy Spirit bringing a solution to the problem, and that was to delegate, even more supernatural ministry is released. Because it says that before long, Stephen's in there, down there serving the tables, healing the sick. Signs and wonders have been done down there. Hallelujah. So God, the Holy Spirit has come to help us, number one, to express God's will, to bring heaven's perspective. You see, the direction of the church must never be dictated by the complaints of the people. You never change anything because somebody's complaining. You don't ignore their complaint, but you take their complaint to the one who knows how to resolve it. And then you allow him to speak into the situation and to express his will. And you bring that expression of his will. You bring heaven's perspective. And if you bring heaven's perspective and you express God's will and people are obedient to that will, then you will expedite or you will speed up the process. You will accomplish more quickly that which is God's heart to do. So the Holy Spirit has come to help us. This is a double, so it's really 19. He comes to help us express and to expedite. Hallelujah. See, the direction of the church never should be dictated by the complaints of the people, but of an express word from heaven. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God being channeled into the church. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number 8. In Acts chapter 7, persecution's kicking in. Stephen, who's been doing the awesome work down there, serving the tables and also healing the sick and everything, he gets an opportunity to preach. Stirs up a lot of hostility. And the crowd that are listening, some of them become so hostile against him that they pick up stones to kill him. The Holy Spirit has come to help us expire. Number 8. He gives you the grace to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. If you don't have the grace to die, it's not your time, no matter what the devil's trying to tell you. Do you hear what I said? If you're not being given the grace to expire, have a read of Stephen there in Acts chapter 7. It doesn't bother him in the least. He says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It says that his face was shining so brightly they could hardly look at him. He looked like an angel. He wasn't depressed about it. He wasn't in fear. He wasn't crying for his mammy. He had the grace to expire. If you don't have the grace to expire, it's not your time, no matter what anybody's trying to tell you. When it's your time, you will have the grace. He has come to help us expire. Death has got no more business in our lives. We might pass through the valley of the shadow, but it'll just be a shadow. And you'll have the grace so that even the shadow won't trouble you. What did David say prophetically? Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. What's he with him for? To help him. Say, he's come to help us. Say, help has arrived. Help. I need some. Come on. Help has arrived. Hallelujah. He's come to help us expire. Say, he's come to help us expire. It's good stuff, isn't it? Number 9, halfway. There's a one in here that might keep us a while, but you see, we need to understand we live by faith and we die by faith. You don't just live by faith, you die by faith. You leave this world by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it says they all died in faith. See, he's come to help us. Number 9. You go to Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. And this guy, Saul of Tarsus, who's been an extreme persecutor of the church, who was actually there at Stephen's stoning, who says he was looking after the jackets, basically. He was the cloakroom attendant for the guys who were stoning him, and he was totally complicit with it. He approved of it, of what was happening. And he's full of anger against this new church. He's just full of religious zeal against what God is doing. And it says he goes to the priest and he gets permission to go down and bring more persecution to this new church. And he's on the way to Damascus. And he has a divine encounter. Glory to God. So a bright light shines around him. He's riding on his horse. He gets knocked off his horse. He's lying there and he's blind. He can't see. It says that the light that's surrounding him is brighter than the noonday sun. It's not a natural light. It's a supernatural light. He has come to help us experience. Ah, well done. He's come to help us experience. My father used to say it, sometimes better felt than telt. The Holy Spirit has come to help us experience a personal encounter with the supernatural God. Don't ever knock someone's experience of God. Don't make light of your own experience. Experience is important. The Holy Spirit came to give you experiences. Come on. It's not just, Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and life. It's not just about learning scriptures verbatim. It's not just about learning theology. It's about experiencing the power of that word becoming real in your life. Paul's down there saying, woo-hoo! He knew he was in the presence of something mightier than anything he'd ever encountered. And he'd been to the best school that Israel had to offer as far as theology was concerned. He spent several years at the feet of Gamaliel, the best teacher they had. Man of wisdom, you hear him say, at one point, concerning the church, he said, maybe you'd be better back off a little bit. If it's of God, you better keep your hands off it. If it's not of God, it'll just fizzle out like every other fad. Come on. He'd been to the best theological school that Israel had to offer, but he's in the presence of something way bigger than he's ever experienced before. He says, who are you, Lord? Come on. He knows he needs to keep the terminology right. He says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Why do you kick against the goads? Jesus gives him instruction. You read later on a bit about a sort of broader account of what actually happened and what was spoken to him at that time. But he's taken and he's led to Ananias' house and Ananias prays for him. His hands on his sight is restored. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And immediately he begins to preach the kingdom. He begins to preach the message that he was intent on destroying and wiping out. The Holy Spirit has come to help us experience, to make it real for us. I tell you, that's why, say, I'm a Pentecostal and I'm proud of it. Hallelujah. Oh, you Pentecostals, it's all about experience. Well, what else is it? Come on. Crazy. Don't ever knock. Sometimes people share things with you and you go, don't just write it off. When some people go and share some things, you're like, I tell you, they didn't even believe Paul. Saul, most of the disciples were afraid of him. I don't care what he says about how he met Jesus. Paul, get out of here, man. That's the guy that was coming to beat us up. Paul shared that experience everywhere he went. He went before King Agrippa and he shared that experience. Come on. God brought him before kings to share his experience of an encounter with Almighty God, with the living God, and his Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you, Lord? That's the first thing that came out of his mouth. He's come to help his experience. I tell you, you need to get ready for experiences of the Holy Ghost in your life. Experiences of God, as I said, there's nothing like it. It's the best. Come on. Number 10. He has come to help us. Well, Acts chapter 10, in verse 9. Let's go there a minute. I'll just read one verse here. I think. It says, the next day as they went on their journey. See, Peter has a vision, remember? And he's on the housetop and he's praying. And he's getting a bit hungry. And he wanted to eat. And all of a sudden, he goes into a trance experience. I remember the old people here saying, oh, you know, we saw people going into trances. I went into a trance and we thought, ooh, what's that? That's a biblical precedent, hallelujah. And it says he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet coming down. And it was covered in all of the different kinds of animals of the air, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." 3 times that happened. And he wondered what this was all about. And the next thing, the door knocks at the house that he's in. And a man called Cornelius, a Gentile, had sent messengers to come and invite Peter to come to his house. He had a vision from the Lord himself, and the Lord had told him, "Send for this guy, Peter, Simon Peter, and he'll come and he'll explain things to you." Hallelujah. The 10th thing he's come to help us with, he's come to help us explore. He's come to help us go beyond the traditional boundaries. Who knows that people thought the earth was flat until someone went over the edge? Someone was willing to go to the edge and discovered you don't fall over. It just keeps on going. Come on. Someone was willing to explore beyond the recognized limits. See, the early church, the first church birthed from Pentecost, they thought the gospel was just for the Jews. Until Peter was willing to explore beyond the limits. See, the blood of Jesus has made cleansing available to everybody. Jesus said, "You shall receive power, and then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, locally, in Judea, regionally, in Samaria, cross-culturally." I want you to hear that tonight, cross-culturally. And to the ends of the earth, internationally. And this is Peter's cross-cultural experience. Philip had already been down to a city of Samaria and preached the gospel down there, and they'd seen the people down there receive the Holy Spirit. And that was a regional manifestation. But here, now it's cross-cultural time. Now it's time to go to the places that good religious people don't go. Who's going to go into the subcultures of our society? Who's going to reach beyond the boundaries? I remember God giving me this revelation several years ago. I shared it with you. I got it while I was in Northern Ireland at a conference. I was speaking at a conference there, and God gave me that. This was the last message I shared at that conference. And God just woke me up in early in the morning, began to share this with me and put it into my heart. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Where were they going? They were going into a place that was held captive in fear because of a demonic stronghold in that place. One man called Legion was holding everybody in that place in fear. Nobody could contain him. Nobody could shut him down. Nobody could. And Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And what happens when they get to the other side? What happens when love? What happens when that man has an encounter with real love? The power of Satan is broken. Hallelujah. He's clothed and in his right mind. But they had to go to the other side. The Lord said to me this, "Stop waiting for your young people to come back to you. You need to go to them. Stop trying to get them to come back and be like you and dress like you and sing the same songs that you want to sing. You go to them. You embrace them. You let them see that you love them no matter what they're bound by, no matter what they're involved in, no matter how loud their music is or how unpalatable it is to your personal taste. You go there and embrace them. You embrace their culture. Stop trying to get them back into church and hand them a red hymn book. Amen. Tell them to cut their hair, wear less makeup, cover up their tattoos. Come on. He's come to help us cross the boundaries. He's come to help us explore. Who's going to go in and embrace the youth culture? One thing I hate in the church is division. Divided up the age groups. It's not of God. It's a mess, and it's resulted in so much division in the church. So much misunderstanding. It's not of God. It's not of the Holy Ghost. It's not for the old people to try and get the young people to be like them. It's for the old people to recognize they're the new generation coming up. And if they want to keep a wee bit of life going, they better embrace what God's doing amongst them. You just bring them the Holy Spirit and let's see what happens. Hallelujah. Who knows? Pigs might run off a cliff or something. Who knows? Pigs might fly. Or not, as the case may be. Can pigs swim? I don't know. Obviously not. Hallelujah. What about gang culture? We saw a video, remember, that was at Father Elias or something, and these guys who went in amongst these gangs, and you know, they went where no man dared to go without the Holy Ghost. What about the thing that sounds like a sandwich? What is it? LGBT or whatever it is. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual culture. That's a culture within our society. Who's going to go in there and embrace that? The Holy Spirit's come to help us embrace that. Not embrace the sin. Not embrace that which is missing out. But to embrace the people that Jesus came to love and to bless and to release. Why did you stop getting excited? What about the sex trade? What about sex workers? Who's going to go in and cross that line? What about the homeless? And it goes on and it goes on. Who's going to cross over there into that culture? It's a culture. It's becoming it's becoming stronger, that culture. It's becoming more widespread. It's becoming a culture within a culture. But he's come to help us, and on and on and on. He's come to help us explore beyond our comfort zones. He said, go to every people group. We say nations, he's talking people group. Including the subcultures that exist within our own society. Cross-culturally, he said. You will be a witness to me cross-culturally. I don't know where he might send you. You need to go. You need to know, say, help has arrived. When he says, let us cross to the other side, you better say, yes, Lord, let's go. Because I'll tell you, as soon as you decide to cross, just like what happened with these guys, a storm will kick up. There'll be all kinds of opposition. What are you going there for? Well, you can't go to them, these wicked sinners. I saw you down there with them gay guys. You gay? No, I'm full of the joy of the Lord. I was till somebody stole that word. Amen. I'm trying to be wary of just, it's just people we're talking about, precious people. It's people having their one and only shot at life. The life that Jesus said he wanted them to have in all of its fullness. The life that Jesus said he wanted. I got a Twitter friend request today from someone who's called I won't tell you the name, sorry, but it's, I can't tell you because then you would know, so. But anyway. Hallelujah. Tweet, tweet. He's come to help us explore beyond our comfort zones. Number 11. You want to move on? You had enough of that? Hallelujah. Get ready. He's come to help us. Hallelujah. He's looking for people to be willing to cross over. And in the midst of the storm, just to get... do what Jesus did and stay sleeping at rest in the boat. Hallelujah. So you'll be fresh when you reach the other side. Come on. Number 11. Acts chapter 13. And on for a long, long time, you see Paul and Barnabas being set apart by the church at Antioch for the ministry that God, the Holy Spirit speaks. They're fasting and they're praying. It says there was prophets and teachers in that church. They're fasting and praying. Among them are Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit speaks. They say the Holy Spirit speaks. Because he's the one who's come to help us, amen, hallelujah, come on, to lead us, to advise us, to guide us, hallelujah. He says he spoke and he said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. And they prayed for, and it says that they fasted again. And then they prayed, just in case they weren't hearing right, in case it was too much toasted cheese, you understand. Because not everything that you hear, that you think comes from God, necessarily does. Worth having some checks and balances. Amen. It says there wasn't just a prophet and a teacher, there was prophets and teachers. Yeah. Every word needs to be tested. Not just by one person, but by several people. That's called accountability. That's called being part of the church. Yeah. It says that after they'd fasted and received confirmation, they sent them out because he's come to help us export. He said, go into all the world. export this gospel. He says, I am with you always to help you. Go into all the world and preach this gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. To do what? To help you. Next, in Mark 16, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with the accompanying signs. He's come to help us. See, he's come to help us export. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 16, I think Paul's down at, and Silas, I think they're down in Philippi, if I remember rightly. And things are trucking, man. Things are looking pretty good. Things are. They find a bunch of women there, and all of a sudden, this woman Lydia invites them to their house, and they begin to bring the gospel to them, and they receive it. And the people who pray anyhow, but now they've been given better understanding of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and a church begins to be established in that place, and things are good. And but there's a woman, a wee lassie, going around after them every day, shouting, "These are the servants of the Most High God who announce unto us the way of salvation." And first of all, it just seems like it's good advertising. Free advertising. I mean, she's telling the truth. These are the prophets of the Most High God. They have come to announce them the way of salvation. But after, it says, after a few days, Paul recognizes something is wrong. It's, we're told that in Acts, she has a spirit of divination. It takes him a while to discern that. She has a python spirit. You see, a python doesn't bite you and poison you. It asphyxiates you. It wraps itself around you and asphyxiates you. And these words were having an impact and an effect on Paul that actually, I think in the Amplified Bible, if I'm not mistaken, it kind of brings it out. Hallelujah. It says in the Amplified Bible that Paul was worn out by it. It says in the New King James that he was greatly annoyed or distressed. That could be translated by these words. It doesn't make sense until he begins to do. It takes him a few days to figure it out. And when he figures it out, he turns to her. Doesn't speak to the woman, he speaks to the Spirit. And he commands that Spirit to come out of her. Because he has come to help us to expel. He's come to help us to discern spiritual strongholds and to cast out demons. Hallelujah. He's come to help us. See, he's come to help us expel the demonic. You don't always discern it at first. Sometimes it even sounds good. But you recognize what it's doing to you. Wait a minute. This is not lifting me up. This is not strengthening me. This is shutting me down. I've had flattery does that. I've had people that flatter me, man. And at first it sounds good. And you realize it's having an asphyxiating effect upon you. Because especially, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can be pretty short on that stuff, you know? People tell you, I'm not, encouragement and flattery, you need to know the difference. We all need encouragement. I pour myself out here, I need to hear somebody come up and say, that was a good word, that ministered to me. That's not flattery. Amen. If it's true what you're saying, that's encouragement. But after, you're empty at the end of it, you don't need somebody, well, I won't tell you about it, but you need somebody to come and say, well, thank you for that, that helped me. Come on. Thank you for being obedient and bringing that word. He comes to help us to expel. Number 13. In Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. Paul's at Athens, remember? And he goes about and he sees all these statues to all these different gods. And then he even finds a statue to the... And he's saying, this is a strange place, this. And then he sees a statue to the unknown god. And he says, I can do something with this. He's come to help us exploit. Not exploit people, but exploit situations. Amen. Exploit even the world songs. Yeah. Come on. I'm a Rolling Stones fan. Well, that's why you can't get any satisfaction. Come on. Paul knew the poetry of these people, and he used it. He said, even as one of your own poets has said. Well, who's Mick Jagger but one of our poets? Who are the Beatles but our poets? Who was Lennon and McCartney? They were our poets, the poets of a generation. I'll tell you, it was powerful stuff. It led a whole generation by the nose. into a whole new experience. Not such a good one, not such a positive one of life. Come on. Paul knew how to exploit a situation. He saw that statue and he says, I can preach off of this. Even quoted from their own poets. Hallelujah. He's come to help us. See, not to exploit people, but even situations that appear negative, he can help us turn them around. He can help us to turn them around into an opportunity to preach and to reach. Amen. I was one time at the Calney Stones way back before everybody started showing up there. And I was in a prayer meeting with some folks, American friends of mine in Carlow, one night, and it turned out it was the solstice. We didn't even know back then it was the solstice. And on the 21st of June, and we're there praying, and there was a message in tongues and interpretation, and the Lord said, move this prayer meeting to the Calney Stones. I'd never even bothered going there, I don't think, up until that point. And we went up there, and we discovered in the centre of the stones, it was one of these miserly nights, you know, a Lewis miserly night. Drizzly, miserly. And we went into we found this bit in the centre, this what now was the chambered cairn, and we went in there and we just started to pray, and we were singing and praying, and these two women showed up and they were walking around us, and touching the stones, and then they started speaking out curses over us. And I won't even, it's not edifying, at least I won't tell you what one of them said, but something stirred in me. I says, you're going around touching these rocks, but the rock wants to touch you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How can we turn this around? They thought they were getting life out of the stones, but the rock wanted to touch them and bring them real life. Glory to God. Amen. We were up there at other times after that. That was the first time I was there in 1988. Went back there under the Lord's direction again in 1990. Different scenario. 500, 600 people there that year. Hallelujah. God said, go into the same place. Take it over. We were there, remember, with the guitars. Hallelujah. Just started to praise the Lord. All kinds of demonic manifestations that night and threats and all kinds of stuff. How dare you, one man said, come into your... How would you like it if we went into your church and started performing a pagan ritual? This is our church. I said, it has nothing to do with you. Bless God. This belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Preached off Acts 16. God does not live in temples made with hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He's come to help us to exploit. Hallelujah. Not people, but situations. Yeah. Number 14. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Hallelujah. Paul shows up in Ephesus, discovers a group of disciples, 12 men, who are pretty limited in their understanding of God's purpose in the earth. For the church. And he spends time with them and he shares with them the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These guys are wide open, they receive it. He stays with them 3 years, teaching them, investing in them, investing time. See, he's come to help us expend. See, he's come to help us expend. He expends time there, resources, energy, whatever it takes. He's come to help you. It doesn't matter how long it takes, he's come to help you expend all of the time and all of the energy that you need to invest in a place to see God's will and purpose fulfilled there. It says that at the end of that, the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Hallelujah. At one point, he had to move them from one place to another. Maybe he was paying for the rent for these buildings out of his own pocket, expending his own resources. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, he was willing to invest it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number 15. Acts chapter 20, Paul meets with the Ephesians that he'd spent that time with for the last time. These Ephesian elders, he meets with them for the last time. In Acts chapter 20, and he says to them, in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20, very powerful stuff. He says, therefore I testify to you this day. In fact, in verse 17, it says he called for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and meet him in Miletus. And then in verse 26, it says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And he begins to warn them that after his departure, that it says in verse 30, from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things or misleading things to draw away the disciples after themselves. He's come to help us expound. That means to present and explain systematically and in detail. He says, I've not avoided declaring to you the whole counsel of God. There's nothing I've held back from you. Hallelujah. He comes to help us to expound the word of God, to expound the truth, to bring to people the full and the whole counsel of God. He says, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's nothing more heart-wrenching than being a preacher who knows that he's preaching truth and seeing people just treat it like nothing. People take that and just not apply it and just ignore it or argue against it or discard it when it's all the best. It's all the best stuff. It's not asking you for anything. It's giving you everything. It's presenting you with God's purpose and God's plan for you to live the life that Jesus came for you to live, a life in its fullness, a life to be enjoyed in all of its fullness. It comes to help us expound. Now he's warning them against those who would come in as wolves among the sheep with perverted teaching to boost their own egos. Number 16, this is the one I woke up with. It was the 18th, but I had to slip it in. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 8, Paul says, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. He's given some testimony of his past life, his past life of sin. Sin is missing God. He was missing God big time. He thought he was doing God's will. There's nothing worse than thinking you're doing God's will and you're missing him big time. I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, he said, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. He's come to help us expunge, that means to erase or to remove completely all of that mess of our past. All of the guilt and the shame that's attached to our history. Come on, somebody, shout amen. The only thing that can block your destiny is allowing your history to come out in front of you and say you can't fulfill that destiny because of what you did in the past. He dealt with our history. In Colossians it says he wiped it out at the cross. In fact, the Greek says he anointed it out. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He wiped out the handwriting that was against us. He wiped out the certificate of debt that was against us. He said, paid in full. Yeah. Hallelujah. In fact, rip it out of the book as if it never existed. Hallelujah. It's not even just got a paid in full stamp on it. It's like it never existed. It's like you never owed him anything in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. He comes to help us expunge. Paul says, this is the way it was, but I want to tell you that I've got no shame or guilt attached to that anymore. He came to help me expunge. Erase and remove completely the shame and reproach and guilt that was attached to my past actions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the power that's in the blood, by the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Number 17, Acts 26 and verse 16. This is what Jesus spoke to Paul that day that he had that encounter with him, that experience of God on the Damascus Road. He says, arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen, and so on. He says, I will deliver you. Then he says, I am now sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. The next thing he's come to help us to do is to expatriate people. To migrate them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. To expatriate them from under the kingdom and the power of the dominion of Satan, and to repatriate them in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We are to expatriate people from the kingdom of darkness and repatriate them in the kingdom of light. To move them from the power and dominion and domination, sorry, of Satan to the power and the protection of God. Hallelujah. Number 18, last but not least. Hallelujah. Well, I can shut the book because now it's time for the book of Acts continuing, church. Now it's time for the Acts of the Holy Spirit continuing. church. Remember what Jesus did in Nazareth in the synagogue after he'd read from the prophecy of Isaiah that we have recorded in Luke chapter 4. He says he closed the book. He said, now it's time for this to happen. Now it's time for this to come to pass. Was everybody happy about it? No, they weren't. Glory to God. In fact, it says that they took up stones to stone him. But it says he just walked out through their midst. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you need to understand, you see, he has come to help us expropriate. That means to dispossess someone of property. Jesus said, we are here, we are anointed. The sons of God are manifested to destroy the works of the devil, to take back the land that he has stolen. We're here to take back the land, to dispossess the enemy. Hallelujah. He's come, the Holy Spirit has come to help us to destroy the works of the devil. Anybody convinced yet that help has arrived? Hallelujah. Anybody convinced yet that he's actually come to help us? He's come to help us explode and explain and expand exponentially and experiment, expect, expose, express and expedite, expire, experience, explore, export, exploit, expel, expend, expound, expunge, expatriate and expropriate. Anybody convinced? Hallelujah. That he's come to help us and that he's with us forever to help us continually in every situation and every circumstance. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Isn't it awesome we've got a standby? Yeah. That he may remain with you forever. So don't panic, folks. Let's stand up together. You don't ever need to panic because help has arrived. And you know what? He's not just with you. He's in you. He's not. And come on. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he was never withdrawn. The power that showed up at Pentecost has never been diminished. Come on, the same power that showed up at Pentecost is still available today. And it says the same Spirit, oh yeah, come on, never mind Pentecost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Not that you hope one day he might, he already does. He's never left. Since the day you were born again, he took up residence on the inside of you, and he's there. And if he can raise Jesus from the dead, I'm sure he can deal with everything else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that the helper has come. That help has arrived. Not just with us, but in us. That, Lord, that we have the same anointing. That we have the same anointing and the same authority that you demonstrated in your 3.5 years of ministry on the earth. Lord, that you passed over that mantle to us. That you prayed the Father and the Father sent the helper. And he's come and he's in us and with us and in us. God, the Holy Spirit, reside in us. We are do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And that God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's just take a minute to chew on that. Let's take a few seconds. You understand. Help is available. Komo shakabasako. You know. Ala rabo shakabasoko yende. There's many things I encounter and that I face that I don't have any wisdom how to deal with. I've got no training, no experience. And you know how many times the Lord has showed me how to do it? How many times I've just kept pulling on him and pulling on him and pulling on him and he showed me how to do it. Do you know how interested he is in the little tiny small details of your life? I left Stormy Private with a busload of kids the other day and the Lord said to me, you don't have to go into Stainis, there's nobody on for Stainis. Did I listen? Nah. Did I shout empty for Stainis? Nah. I went into Stainis right to the end and all the way back out and not one soul on the bus for Stainis. If I'd listened, I wouldn't have had to go in. He cares. Yeah. Next day, anybody for Stainis? No, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. He cares. Every little detail, he wants to help you with everything. Yeah. Not just with the spiritual stuff. He wants to help you with everything. Hallelujah. He doesn't make distinctions between the spiritual and the non-spiritual. He doesn't think the flesh is bad. Hey, Jesus pinched himself and discovered he was flesh, sinless flesh. God made you flesh. Flesh is not evil. Right. Not when it's sanctified flesh. Not when the Holy Spirit is in charge. Hallelujah. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for life to be enjoyed in all of its fullness. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, the Helper, has come to help us to live that life, to enjoy that life, to spread that life, to share that life. Lord, to take this life to the places where no good religious person ever dared to go before. Lord, to take that the love and the mercy and the grace of God as a part of this life. Lord God, and to take it to the subcultures of this world and of our society, those that exist within our own town. Lord, sometimes even within our own homes, there's a wee subculture there. Lord, help us to take this gospel, this good news, the best news of your kingdom to everyone in every place, that we would be witnesses to you locally, regionally, cross-culturally, internationally. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God.